This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Chris Graham and Scott German, and we're going to talk about a work of art. And that's all I can say. I just tweeted literally right before we're getting ready to go on the air here about how it's like watching Michelangelo live paint the Sistine Chapel. That's what that was like. Virginia 79, Syracuse 53. A 27-3 UVA run. Virginia shoots 18 of 25 from three. I'm laughing as I say it because these are just absurd numbers. 10 of 13 in the second half. And Syracuse scored, you know, they were up at halftime. They were up 43-42 with 15 minutes to go and got blown out in their gym, and that's a good Syracuse team. Scott, I don't know what to say. That's a performance of a team that's a favorite to win the national championship.
Oh, absolutely, because they just completely a good Syracuse team, a team that knows how to play zone, get it defense. This is a team that that makes a living playing zone defense, and Virginia just absolutely dissected into pieces in the second half. And that, when we talked to one on the podcast, one of the few true Catalan we've been so efficient, you've usually just won wire to wire game, but this one, in every sense, category, in every sense of the definition of a Cavalier, this was categorically a Cavalier in the second half.
Yeah, Virginia trailed 34-32 at halftime. First half, Virginia shot well too, 8 of 12 from 3, which those are absurd numbers itself. When you start doing the math on that, that's 24 points on 12 shots. That's 100% effective field goal percentage shooting on those 12 shots, but Virginia had 8 turnovers in the first half, and it was because Virginia was attempting to do what you're supposed to do against a 2-3 zone, especially Syracuse's 2-3 zone. You're supposed to set up somebody, and for the most part it was DeAndre Hunter. You're supposed to set that guy up in the middle of the 2-3 zone, right about the foul line, maybe a foot or two inside the foul line, and you're supposed to force an entry pass in there. And then that person either, you know, turns and shoots a shot, they maybe drive to the basket, they kick out for the three. But Syracuse was doing a great job of crunching in on that spot. And that was leaving the three-point shooters open, Jerome and Guy primarily. And that's why they were making shots. But when Virginia was attempting to force that pass in, Syracuse was taking the ball away. And so halftime, 34-32. Virginia continues the torrid shooting to start the second half. But Syracuse was still playing very effective offense. And with 15-11 to go, I think it was a Tyus Battle 3, put Syracuse back on top 43-42. And you're feeling like, all right, this is going to be one of those games. Virginia's turned the ball over a lot. They're shooting well. But the only reason they're in the game is because they're shooting well. And you're not going to keep making these threes. And in fact, what Virginia did was step up the making of threes. I mentioned the 27-3 run. So after that Battle 3 made it 43-42 Syracuse, Virginia went on a 27-3 run over the next 10 minutes and 5 seconds. A 69-46 lead at the end of the stretch. Syracuse made one basket, a three-pointer, in that stretch. One basket in 10 minutes and 5 seconds, while Virginia was going 7 of 8 from three-point range. It was absurd, is what it was. And it's not like, you know, obviously Virginia was getting great dribble penetration. Ty Jerome had 14 assists in the game. You had Jerome going 5 of 6 from 3. You had Kyle Guy, career high, 8 of 10 from 3. You had DeAndre Hunter, a modest 5 of 7 from 3. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. But so you had good dribble penetration, but you just also had Kyle Guy particularly just making some wild-ass shots. And then the defense on the other side. Syracuse, 19 second-half points for the Cues in a game that I don't know if it was a must-win for Syracuse, but it was close to a must-win for Syracuse. And wow, all I can say again is wow, Scott. All that I said there, any one of those things happens. If you shoot well from three, if you play great defense, you win the game. Virginia did it all in one night against a pretty good Syracuse team in a dominating win.
I will always have a hatred for Syracuse for denying us that Final Four here in 2016. So, the expense of a better thing. So, as you like, Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, Nikita, and Jay Huff, they outscored Syracuse 40-9. over 13 minutes in the second half. Is that the national championship lineup?
Yeah, that lineup, and Zach Perilous has written about that lineup. Well, actually, he wrote about the lineup with Diakite in there with a four-guard lineup. But yeah, you had Diakite scoring 9. I didn't mention him. He was 4 of 9 from the floor, but 5 rebounds. He had 4 block shots. You know, this wasn't just an offensive win. You know, for a while there, these two teams were trading baskets, and that's why it was 43-42 before that big stretch by Virginia, the 27-3 stretch over 10 minutes. But they were trading baskets for the first 25 minutes of this ballgame. You know, give credit to Syracuse for 25 minutes at least of good offense. But Mamadi Diakite, the 4 block shots, and Scott and I noticed this. And we, you know, if you could just hear us talking on Press Row when we're at JPJ together, you know, it's not just the shots that Diakite blocks; it's the shots that he alters. He might get 1 or 2 or 3 today. He had 4, but so many shots that get altered because a guy changes his trajectory on his shot. Changes the arc, you know, maybe doesn't take a shot that you would normally otherwise take against a guy like Diakite. And so, you know, and DeAndre Hunter had 3 block shots. He blocked 1 shot that was key during that the early part of that 27-3 run. You know, Jim Boeheim tried everything. He called 2 timeouts, two of those momentum timeouts that you see a coach call. After one of those timeouts, Virginia forced just a missed shot. The second of those timeouts, Hunter blocked the shot out of the air. So wasting those timeouts for Boeheim. But Virginia on the night, that would be 8 block shots on the night for Virginia. And Syracuse shooting 7 of 26 second half. I mean, yeah, we're thinking about the offense, 18 of 25 from 3, which is just absurd. That's 54 points on 25 shots. For those who like advanced metrics, that's 108% shooting. Effective field goal percentage shooting, because you scored 54 points on 25 shots. The 25 shots at their twos, that's 50 points. They scored 54 points on those threes. But it was defense as well, you know. And so great dribble penetration. That's what allowed Jerome to get those assists. And then just great, great defense in that last 15 minutes. Syracuse only scoring 8 points in those last 15 minutes. 8 points in the last 15 minutes after getting up 43-42, 15-11 to go. A sublime performance by Virginia.
You know, first half, it was a close game. But, you know, Virginia had, they had 8 turnovers in the first half, and they gave away 8 offensive rebounds. So, you know, they tightened it up in the second half. I'm not sure exactly what they finished with turnover-wise, but probably, what, maybe 2 or 3 in the second half?
3 in the second half, 2 were in garbage time.
2 were in garbage time. I hate to say garbage time because our green team has held their own against some good teams this year. So, you know, they did. They came out in the second half. They were just a little bit more careful with the ball. Turn the ball under. They certainly didn't give up a lot of points, especially in the paint. I've followed Virginia basketball for a long time and had the privilege of watching them all 4 years that Ralph was on ground. And this team is just the best team that I've seen. Not only Virginia put on the floor, but possibly one of the most efficient teams I've ever seen play college basketball. Methodical, they are an extension of Coach Bennett. I can't come up with enough superlatives. It looks like, without saying it, they're on a mission this year, and I think quietly they're on a mission to kind of put once and for all what happened in March last year down in Charlotte. I think to a man, these guys are focused. You just don't do. I mean, they're putting the second half in the Syracuse, but you don't do that on one of these new video games, you know, CS games or whatever. They video game numbers. And what Virginia's done in 2 years in the ACC, 1 loss on the road in 2 years, that's absurd. That's almost unheard of. That's just amazing that And at some point in time, we're going to just probably go, yeah, that's just what he does. But it's still hard. It's still hard. Kind of shake your head and just what you just saying.
Yeah, 58-5 record overall at this stage through two seasons, and including the ACC tournament last year, that brings Virginia to 35-3 in the ACC. I've got to correct myself. 10 points in the last 15-11. There were two garbage time points, garbage minute points in the last minute by Syracuse. But, 18 of 25 from three. And what I would give credit to, we talk about adjustments. You know, fans love and announcers love to talk about adjustments, and analysts love. And the adjustment in this one was interesting because normally you adjust and you don't adjust to let's shoot more open threes. Because even open threes, they go in like they did tonight for Virginia. Sometimes they don't. But when Virginia was forcing the ball into Hunter and sometimes Jerome there in the first half into that painted area, and Syracuse was forcing the turnovers. What Virginia did well, and then Syracuse didn't do well in terms of its own adjustment to Virginia's adjustment. Virginia just said, "Hey, you're going to give us open threes? We'll take them, you know. And if we shoot 40% on them, we'll win the game. And because Virginia's a 40% 3-point shooting team, they shot 72% today. But what Syracuse didn't do well was they didn't adjust when they were giving up. I mean, let's give Virginia credit; they made open threes. You're supposed to make those shots, but they, you know, they're 20-foot shots. They're momentum and everything else of a game." And Syracuse never recovered to say, okay, let's take those open threes away. Let's make them drive the basket and do that kind of stuff. And Virginia just kept making those shots. And then on the defensive end, what Virginia did well was they stuck to their guns, kind of like the Louisville game defensively. It really felt to me, and of course the results are very similar too. Louisville finished with 52, Syracuse finished with 53. But Syracuse was shooting reasonably well from three for the first 25 minutes. And it felt like to me contested threes. Jay Bellis said on the game broadcast he thought that there were a couple open ones. I felt like for the most part Virginia did a good job contesting those threes, and they didn't get away from what they do. They didn't overemphasize, hey, let's stop the flood of threes from Syracuse. They stuck to their guns. They forced bad shots, and eventually Virginia was shooting rhythm shots from three. Syracuse was forcing threes at the end of shot clocks, it felt like a lot of times, and so great adjustments by Tony Bennett against the Hall of Fame coach Jim Boeheim, who didn't adjust. I was surprised, Scott, you mentioned the 2016 game, the Elite Eight game. Boeheim didn't really go to the press. I mean, they maybe pressed once or twice, but by the time Boeheim brought the press out, it was over. I thought when he called the second momentum timeout, it was still 53-43 at that stage, 11-0 part of the 27-3 run. I thought he was calling the second timeout to say, okay, we're going press, we're going to see what happens. They never really did it until the game was already over. Maybe he's saving that for later on, but I don't know. I was kind of expecting him to try to press his way back in, and it just never happened.
So you were having some deja vu from the tournament game in 16.
Right? I was trying not to, but I was.
Had one
option. Yeah, I was trying not to.
But, you know, there might be some games you just realize it's not – maybe he had ESP or something and just knew that they weren't going to play the whole hand right there. They might see Virginia again. I don't think it mattered. I don't think it mattered who was playing Virginia at that point. I don't think it mattered what defense. There's some nights that you just can't. This is the most impressive second half of basketball history. And it may not matter what defense Syracuse threw at him or the final defense or something. Chris, but I am a little concerned. It's been almost an hour now. We haven't hit a three.
Yeah, and there's as much defense right now as there was an hour ago from Syracuse as far as that goes. Yeah, you know, and these two teams could meet next week in Charlotte. Syracuse is probably locked in at worst to the 7th seed. They've got 10 wins or 10-7 in the ACC. Clemson, I think, is 7-9, and NC State's 10-8. I think State would have a tiebreaker if they were to win out and Syracuse were to lose on Saturday to Clemson. I think, if I remember that right, I think NC State won the head-to-head, the only head-to-head between those two. So Virginia could face Syracuse. Syracuse, if they fell to the 8-9 game playing on Wednesday, they win that game, they'd be playing a number one seed Virginia, if that ends up being the case. Virginia hasn't clinched it, but they're about as close to clinching as they can be right now. So, you know, maybe Bayham saving it for that game, you know, not give Virginia a look at their press. And that, in fact, it was Virginia who pressed something tonight, pressing mainly not to cause turnovers, but to slow down Syracuse getting across half court and make them, you know, play against a 20-second shot clock instead of a 30-second shot clock. But we now have to start thinking about that, Scott. We have the terrible thing about the Saturday-Monday two games in 48 hours is that you have to play the two games in 48 hours. The best part of it is now you've got the whole week off until Saturday. And Virginia hosts Louisville with a win by the Cougs, giving Virginia its fourth regular season title in 6 years. And we didn't have any until 6 years ago. We had tied for a couple, but we never won the title. Even in those years, we were always a second seed or below in I think one case. One case, we were actually the fourth seed with a tie for the ACC title. So this is a chance for the fourth ACC regular season championship in 6 years. And, you know, we've had some good ones in the last few years. I feel like this is maybe the best team. I'm not even going to say maybe. I think this is the best team that Tony's had in that six-year run. And what do you think about that?
I think you're right. I think it's the best team because he has so many scoring options. We've never had this many offensive-minded players on the floor. And rim protectors. A little bit. We mentioned a little bit about Diakite. For fans that aren't fortunate enough to be a JPJ or not fortunate enough to be at the perspective that we are. And again, going back to my days following Ralph didn't lead the nation in block shot. He led it, I think, his freshman year, but the blocks per year were pretty well, pretty much. But his presence in the lane, it altered so many shots. And we've seen it, you know, shots that just looked like they're high up, that stand very little chance of going in unless you can lock yourself up. This is such a well-balanced team and poised. And it's said, this is the time of year that, you know, I'll take the hand that Virginia's going to play even a team like Duke or bringing kids out that from last year, even if Ion Williams is back over there. These kids have the pressure that they're going to face in the NCAA tournament in Virginia. It's not to them. And this team played three Monday night games, big Monday. All three of those games were on the road.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I don't know if it's something that just let the ACC deal them randomly, or do you think that maybe possibly that's the way Tony wanted it?
Yeah, I would think it, you know, if Tony didn't ask for it, he wasn't unhappy when he got it. These were tests. Every one of them were tests. The first one was the hardest one. You play Duke, and you got to go to North Carolina. Then you know you play a tough Notre Dame team at that time, at least tough Notre Dame team. They've struggled most of the season. You play a tough game against a Notre Dame team. You got to go win at Virginia Tech, who then the next time they play at home they beat Duke, and then you win this weekend, and then you go to Syracuse against a. I'm not desperate Syracuse team, but they're pretty close to desperate. They're going to be desperate on Saturday against Clemson. Anyway, so yeah, 3-0 in those big Mondays. Great point, Scott. Tony likes challenges for his team, and so yeah, I don't know how that works. Like if you just get to say, hey, can you give us as hard a schedule as you can give us? But Tony, when he saw it, I'm sure he had a big smile on his face, thinking about the possibility of going 3-0 in those games and. Damned if he didn't do it.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if a school has a schedule before actually cemented, but not many schools, I'm sure, are going to say, oh, great, we get three big Monday games, and all great, they're all on the road, and guess what? They're not at Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, and Georgia Tech. They're in the Dean Dome. They're in them against a very good Tech team. They're in the Carrier Dome. The only, if it was a quadruple Monday night thing, the only thing missing would be a game in Cameron. So, you know, this, I guess the moral to this is a battle-proven, road-proven team that when we take the floor in Charlotte, which is not going to really be like a road game, we're going to have a ton of fans there, but when we go on the road in the NCAA tournament, it's just, you know, I don't think that this team is going to at all be intimidated by a road, you know, a road game or being away from JPJ. That's just been magnificent. They've played spectacular the entire season. And, you know, here's another little ESPN is just continuously hammering home that game Saturday night against Duke and Carolina. That's going to be a monumental game. Battle for second place in the ACC.
Yes. It's for second place in the ACC, folks at ESPN, folks in the corporate office there down in Greensboro. It's for second place. Your big game is for second place in the ACC. Virginia will host Louisville at 4 o'clock. You know, for some reason, the main event is before the semifinal game on Saturday. But Virginia hosts Louisville. I mean, you know, and Louisville obviously played Virginia well the first time out a week and a half ago. So, you know, Virginia's got to go out and win that game. And that game's at 4 o'clock. Whoop.
They could be playing their way out of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, at 10-7 in the ACC, and with that stretch of what 3-6 in the last 9 games, yeah, they got to win their midweek game this week, and they, you know, Virginia on the road would be a huge win for that team. So yeah, and they're a team right now that could find its way, perhaps down in that 8-9 game on Wednesday in the ACC tournament. So and they found that they were in that 8-9 game last year, actually won the 8-9 game. And then still didn't get in the tournament last year, Louisville. So yeah, that's it's going to be, you know, you're going to get Louisville's best shot. We've already had a good shot from them for at least a half in the game down in Louisville that Scott was at with Jerry Ratcliffe a week and a half ago. So we know it's there's no cakewalk here, but a win by Virginia, and Virginia will be the regular season champion in the ACC for the fourth time in 6 years. And we'll do our part to get you ready for it. Zach Peerless will have the game preview. Zach will also do some looking up and some game analysis, some film analysis of the previous win for Virginia and kind of looking ahead to what adjustments may be made on both sides heading into Saturday. But then, yeah, Scott and I will lead the coverage from JPJ on Saturday. We'll be there early, give you a sense of the flavor in the John Paul Jones Arena, and then we'll bring you live coverage from courtside at the John Paul Jones Arena. Of course, I should signal ahead, Scott. We're going to be at the ACC tournament. We're going to be there for the whole dang thing. There's 14 games from Tuesday to Saturday, and we're going to be there. And that starts on Tuesday, and we'll be there for the games between the six teams who won't be representing the ACC in the NCAA tournament. Then we're there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we'll see if UVA can bring back a third ACC tournament championship in 6 years. We didn't have any of those either before 2014. So, wow, it's been a nice run for Virginia, and we've been fortunate. We have to remind Scott, I don't know why I feel compelled to say this, but we still, you know, I'm not that far removed. You're not that far removed. We watched a lot of bad basketball to get here. Three little initials, CBI, for some reason come to mind right now. I don't forget that when I see a game like tonight when Virginia plays about the best basketball game I've seen a team play in a big game environment, that we had to watch some really bad CBI games on midday afternoons, midweek, midday afternoons to get here. And that's how far Tony Bennett's taken his program.
Yeah, against teams that are people's names. Bradley.
Bradley, yeah. We lost that game.
His name was Bradley, and I've disliked Bradley ever since watching the Bradley Braves beat us in front of about 4,000 fans at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at JPJ. You know, that name has just not been something I've been fond of ever since then. So you're right. You know, I'm not saying the two of us know more about basketball than anybody else, because there's a lot of great writers that follow Virginia basketball, a lot of longtime players, Jerry Rasmus, Doug Dawdy, David Teal, those are Hall of Fame type writers. But, you know, back on it from a perspective of being there and watching this team evolve from a god awful team a decade ago to where we are now, we got a pretty good perspective on that. I think we have as good a perspective on that as just about anyone that follows this team. So, you know, when we get excited, we have a right to get excited.
I appreciate this exactly. I appreciate this as much as I can appreciate anything. When you come from the bottom, it's all beautiful. So, for Scott German, I'm Chris Graham. We'll sign off for tonight. We'll talk to you again later this week. Final score, Virginia 79, Syracuse 53. Wahoo, wahoo.